We dedicate our shirim, as always, Lezechon Nishmas, the Kedoshim, Shenaflu al Kiddush Hashem. We dedicate it to the Cholim. We dedicate it to our soldiers, to the hostages. And we wish everyone a happy Rosh Chodesh. And hopefully with this great Rosh Chodesh Kislev, when we saw Nisim v'Neflois by Mimahim Bazman Hazeh, we should be zeichet to see great miracles with the extraction of all the hostages, with the end of Hamas, or Rabbanu Shalom should obliterate them, and we should only see Nisim Neflois, as I said, by Yamim Ahim Bazman Hazeh. So the topic of Maariv Zion is incredibly interesting, and I think it will be, as I said, a two-part series. I apologize. We're going to get to some of the nitty-gritty chulent of it next week. Tomorrow. Sorry, we give this year every night. I forgot. And that is... some very important questions on the topic. Today we're going to research it. I'm just going to make your palates interested of what we're going to discuss. So here, I do not have any more sheets. You could share. Why can't you share? Someone stole yours? So don't worry. I'll make it easy for you to not follow along. Don't worry. My bad. I didn't know. I thought nobody would come anymore. Anyway, so I'm still waiting for that day. So... the topic of Maariv Zion is, I'm going to say, different in Eretz Yisrael than it is in America or outside of the Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because there are people, for those that don't know, there are people in America who will go on a business meeting to a non-kosher restaurant and just sit there, right? What I'm not talking about tonight, this is not a kosher share. Hopefully, we will give a kosher share. We'll discuss how is it possible that a person can go into any restaurant, any kosher restaurant, restaurant, because the stuff that he's eating is not kosher. We're not discussing that. We're not discussing going into a restaurant and, oh, come on, you can't order. Someone just said to me today, he did this in Leva Torah, and they actually said something very offensive. They're like, what do you mean talking about? You can't go to a vegan, you know what vegan is? Vegan restaurants are, you know, nothing is made out of, they say, what's wrong with a vegan restaurant? There's no meat, there's no nothing. What could be so bad? There can't be any, I'm like, it's not just that. First of all, it's Bishul Akum. Second of all, which we discussed, there's all other possibilities. Now, what?
Vegetables.
What about, right, the big one is the checking of the vegetables, which we know is even outside of Eretz Yisrael is still a very big thing. But besides that, the Bishul Akum, also in America, I hate to tell you this, they're not as honest as you think they are. The oils that they use could have derivatives of animal fat in it. That's not considered to be a problem for vegan people, right, some vegan people. Famously, McDonald's for many, many years served vegan-free French fries. And when I grew up, a lot of my friends used to go to, they had a minhag, and the minhag was, you can go anywhere in the United States and have French fries. But French fries is literally just oil and potatoes. What could be in oil and potatoes? And then there was a guy who started to get sick. He was allergic to animal fat. And guess what? McDonald's was lying all these years. They put lard fat, which gets really bad when it's chaser schnach. They put chaser schnach inside. Okay, shkoyach. So we're not talking about that. And the interesting part is going to be a fight we could have tomorrow night, maybe, about Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is my, I think I'm right about this, nobody ever goes, somebody asked me here, a question about Golda. It's a good question. In America, this is a Maariv Zion question. In America, I'm sorry, I'm using America, it's just where I used to live. So in America, I'm sorry, in England also, and in any Canadians? Anybody originally from Canada? Oh, Baruch Hashem. So I'm sure in England they have some ice cream shop. We probably call it something else because you have to call everything on something else. In the cone shop, and I don't know, what do they call it? Do they call it an ice cream store? Ice cream shop? You know what that is, ice cream? Yeah, okay. So in America, you go on your trip with your parents, you go into America, and all of a sudden, there's a new kashrus. It's called no kashrus. And it's a gezeirah shava kashrus, which means Carvel is kosher in the Carvel in the five towns, so it's kosher everywhere in the world. Well, what? What happened? What? So maybe it is. Right? So that's a different kashrus question. But here in Eretz Yisrael, we have something called Golda. Ah! In my humble opinion, the greatest ice cream in the world. There's no greater ice cream than Golda. That's tasting funny. My kids went to go see the movie, Golda. You know, it's like a movie. It was a movie about Golda Meir, Nebuchadnezzar, the Yom Kippur War. Anyway, So my kids are like, well, we're going with Granny, we're going to Golda. I'm like, oh, okay, why are you making such a big deal of it? We're going to, what do you have to go to Yerushalayim to go to Golda? What do you want us to go to Beit Shemesh? Yeah, the Beit Shemesh one is just fine. And we're having like a different conversation. I think they're going for ice cream with their grandmother, and they're going to the movies with her. Yeah, very stark. Anyway, and they got popcorn, and then they went to Golda. So can you go to a Golda anywhere in Israel? This is the Maris Ayin question. Why? Let's argue for a second that all Golda in Israel is exactly is kosher. Why? Because it comes from one central place. Right, the guy, I don't know where Golda is made. You could look it up on Google. I don't know. Kiryat Shmona. It's made in somewhere up north. There's a big factory, and that factory delivers to all the Goldas in Israel. Some open Shabbos, some not open Shabbos. So why can't I go to any Golda? Now, here's what could happen. So we were actually in Herzliya for Pesach, and we were walking on the Namal there, and we hear like a very American family talking, and they're like, oh my God, there is nothing to eat here that is kosher. This is crazy. It happens to be the Namal. There's nothing. There's not. What about? And they go, oh my God, is that a Golda? So they go into the Golda, and of course, they trust every Jew, and they say to them, excuse me, atem ksherim lepesach? And the guy's like, ken, ken. And then he says in Hebrew, which they don't understand, aval enenu tuda ki anachnu putchim b'shabbos. Quiet. What you said, it's okay. The man in this Hebrew writing on it, so it must be kosher. It's kasher, right? So that's a good question. Is that in Israel considered tamar sign where maybe an American wouldn't? Again, assuming that you go into an ice cream store that you know to be kosher, right? This is very common, you know, people that you go to camp, they go upstate to camp, they go to all these places, and they walk into a frozen yogurt place. And you, let's say you're a real rebbe like me, and I say to the lady, hi, how are you, Samantha? So I don't tell them, I don't explain to them the whole Jewish religious thing, and she's going to be like, yes, you want to bless the yogurt, you can bless it. No. So I tell them I have a lot of allergies, you know, look at me, I look terrible, I'm half dead already. So can I see it? And they shall show me the yogurt, and the yogurt has an OU on it. So I ascertained it, but now, is it okay that I'm sitting there? Is that Maris Ayin? So what is Maris Ayin? What does it mean? So we look at the first source number one, which I'll say, if those that don't have a sheet, don't calm down. It says like this. The Mishnah in Shkalim, Bishlosh Kapotcha Shlosh Shlosh Sa'im Trumot. They're talking about the Kohen. And the Kohen, when he went into the Beis HaMikdash, you can't imagine, if you were to take the vision of the person who's the most holy, the holy of holy, you know who that is? The Kohen. He's the guy, right? Can you do me a favor? There's an extra sheet there, right? Yeah, give one of these. Give this way, they'll have. I feel bad. Thank you very much. Here. No, not him. Give them. There's like five people that are. So. Ein hutram nichnas lefnei apargod. So the Kohen can't walk in with pockets, with shoes, namal, the sandal, the tefillin, the kameya, nothing. Kameya was, you know, they used to wear the necklace that had in it, I don't know, some pasuk or something, heebie-jeebie in it. And then, why? Because what's going to happen? He's going to walk in with something that you could potentially put money into. Ya'ani, he's going to become poor. V'amru, man alishka. You know what he did? He stole from the lishka. He stole from the pushka in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, you think this stuck a box. That stuck a box. Do me a favor. Is there like $1 million? Is it heavy? Yeah, it's like totally full. This shul makes tons of money. I don't know. We should stomach since we give a shit. We should take the money, no? We should use the money for something. Anyway, fine. I should buy drinks for you guys in that bachur. They're so thirsty. Sorry, I'm sorry. Anyway, so what are they going to say? They're going to say, oh, you know why he's poor? Because he stole money from the stucker box and God punished him and made him poor. And this is a good Jew. Oh, Shema Yashir, he's going to become rich. And what are they going to say to him? Oh, you know why he's rich? He's rich because he stole from the kupa of the stucker. They're going to get it both ways. Such a Jew answer. You can't escape this guy. And therefore, you don't want to have anything with potentially having pockets in it. She'adam tzarech latzeit yidei habriot. Because a person should go out looking perfect to the briot. Kiderech she'tzarech latzeit min amokam she'nemar v'ayisim nekiyem me'hashem v'yisrael. I am not only pure. God knows what I'm doing, really. God knows the reasons why I'm doing it. Right? Some people have a bar mitzvah, and they're having a bar mitzvah because they want to go into the oil mitzvahs. And some people have a bar mitzvah because they want to get as many presents as they can get, right? So like imagine the mommy comes to the son, and he says to the son, son, you know, we know the matzah, but what do you think we should do? Should we have your bar mitzvah party with all your friends or not? And you're like, uh-oh, that means no presents. It's like, mom, I thought about it. I think this is what the soldiers would want for us, that they would want us to have a simcha, and we'll say the tefillah for tzal, and we'll give out, even though it's a thing they give out at bat mitzvahs, we'll give out tehillim at the thing, we'll do, mom, it's good, I think for the man tzal, nothing to do with me, right? Shkoyach. Hashem knows what your real reasons are. But it says, Vayisim Nekiyam, Yashem Umi Yisrael. Also, no other person should think ill of you. They shouldn't think any wrong of you. Umatzachain, and the pasuk from Mishlei, Matzachain, Vaseichal Tov L'Choreyav, Be'ein Elokim V'Adam. Right? So one of the reasons why, think about what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Kohen. We're talking about the holiest guy. Even he can't have pockets because we're afraid that somebody, who's going to think that about the Kohen? Isn't that a little bit of a chutzpah? We're going to think of the Kohen, the holiest person. I don't want to start picking names here. But let's say the person that sits over here. You ever going to think anything? He goes up to the stucker box and he starts, you know, taking his 10 shekel piece and he goes, oh, look at that guy. He's taking 11. I bet he's taking 11 shekel. Nobody would think that way. But we're so careful that it shouldn't look wrong. Nothing. They're actually halachas of a gabbai stucker, how he has to act. That's number one. Number two. Sorry, this is, we'll take a pause for a really fun Gemara. Ladies, sorry for this. Here we go. Gemara Krisus, Daf Chaf Aleph. This is also a Gemara in Ksuvus, Daf Samach. How do I know? I gave the Daf Shvui last week for the first time. Yes, yes. Guess who didn't come? Yeah, this is Bar Mitzvah. Is it Bar Mitzvah? I have a Bar Mitzvah next week, so I can't come. Maybe he did come. I don't remember. Anyway, fine. Maybe he can. Okay. Amarav, Dam Dogim, Sheknisso Aser. Fish blood that's collected into a vessel, you can't, sorry, girls, you can't drink it. So, what does this mean? The Gemara elaborates on it. Fish blood is kosher. What blood is not kosher? Any animal blood is not kosher. Your own blood may be kosher. We'll discuss in a moment. There are a total of 7 psukim in the Torah that aser blood. Right? For example, I'll give you the scariest one. I think the scariest one. Rachazek lebiltil ochel hadam ki hadam hu hanefesh velo teechel hanefesh im habasar. You can't eat it. There's even one that talks about verach hadam lo techelu. Ha'ochel dam chayev kares. He's chayev kares if a person has right? There are 7 psukim. Now, that only applies to actual dam, not to fish dam. Fish dam would be okay. So we may have discussed this once. I remember saying, given the example of Fear Factor. Remember my example? Fear Factor. Fear Factor was a show on TV. It was in Israel as well. I know you don't have TVs. You don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, there's something called a TV. Okay? There's a screen. It's a masach. It's here. Like this would be, by the way. We should watch movies here. This would be a good masach. Okay. So there was a TV. And they have shows on it. Nebuch, people used to watch it. Anyway, what was Fear Factor? Fear Factor was this wacko show, this new thing called reality TV, where you would do these crazy stunts, and what would be, if you did it, you got extra points to go on a race. I don't know, I forgot what the ending was. If you did, right, so it would be great, if you would watch the show, Nebuch, this is such an American show, they would open up a big, whatever, a big thing, and they would say, okay, you just have to jump into this thing filled with spiders or scorpions just for 2 minutes. Right? Oh, you just have to sleep inside this thing with the crocodile and then you get all the points. Sometimes it would be disgusting and it would be you have to eat something. There would be like a wheel and you would spin the wheel, you know, and it would be, you know, something good. Like, right, would be like, you know, water. Oh, yeah, great, okay. Then it would be blood. So I always thought to myself, what if there was a Jewish Fear Factor? Now, I thought about this and then I moved to Israel and I see on TV once they have a Jewish Fear Factor. But everybody's got the tattoos and the earrings. No, nobody cares to eat blood. And then a Jewish couple, a frum couple comes on. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I'm so excited. Jewish Fear Factor, what's it going to be? You know, have as much Kiddush wine as you can. Right, fine. So they explain and they start the show. Shema, Yishanu Datim Bo. Anachnu Chayim Lechabed Et Kulam. Number one, we're not going to have the show. It's usually on Friday night. We're not showing it Friday night. Number two, anything that we have can't be against Mashinika Halacha, Kilo. So she said, for example, we can't drink blood. Because it says in the Torah 7 times you can't drink blood. So I'm like, fish blood. This was what we're saying over here. According to fear factor, all they needed to do, says the Gemara, I didn't write it over here, but the Gemara elaborates and says, as long as it has the kaskasim in it, right, as long as the big glass of blood has in it some of the fish, bones or whatever, and people know, or there's a big sign that says fish blood, or I'm on fear factor, and I said, this is fish blood, everybody knows it's fish blood, shkoyach, it would be mutter. Now, they didn't listen to me on the show. You know, I promise you this is true. They said, we don't want to do, so we're going to have instead a kosher eating contest. And then they open up a big bowl, and in the bowl is 150 matzah balls. Do you have matzah? You don't know what matzah balls are. Like kreplach. Yeah. So that's matzah balls. That's the stupid Ashkenazim that we eat. We stupid Ashkenazim, yeah? And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, oh my God, I would do so well. I love matzah balls. I mean, this heart scene should be on Fear Factor now. 150? Sure, no problem. So here's the problem. I'm sure, have you ever tried the pretzel challenge? You have the pretzel challenges? Open up a bag of pretzels, and you guys will say, how many can you have without drinking? Right, you have 2 minutes, how many can I have? You'll be like, I could do 10 easy. Right, I've just tried this before. You open it up, you make your mezonos, obviously, and you start eating it. And after like the third, you're like dying. So that was happening with the matzo balls. They were eating, you know, the guy's like, oh, matzo balls. Whoop, you know, he did it like 5 times and he's like, you know, he's like, can I have some, you know, soup? hot soup. No, nothing. You know, give me some croutons, you know, shaked my rock. Right? But really, blood is mutter. Why can't you collect it into a vessel, into a cod, into a kli? Why? Says Rashi, source number 2. It looks like dam. And what am I going to say? I'm going to see it, Marasai, and I'm going to say, oh, Hartstein's drinking dam? My God, Paul. I thought Hartstein was from. He gives that cheer every night. So comes along the halacha and says, interesting halacha of Marasai. Do we say, what is the reason for Marasai? Very interesting. Sometimes the Gemara actually uses the Lashon of Marasai, sometimes uses the word Chashad. Rav Oshawai says, I think there's a difference. Rav Moshe Fein, he says, maybe there's a difference. Maybe there are two separate Isurim here. One Isur is, let's say, this was filled with a red liquid, right? And all sheer, I'm just trying to trick you, and I'm drinking it all sheer, right? I'm like, a Rebbe, you have a little blood here, right? So now you leave the sheer, and either you're going to say two things. It depends how much you like me. Either you're going to say, I knew Hartstein, he's not a real rabbi. Chatui, Hartstein. He drinks blood. Blood's usher. Look at him, he's a guy. We got to get him kicked off this. Let's bring somebody else here. Or what are you going to say? Oh, Rabbi Hartstein's the holiest man in the world. It must be that blood is mutter because he's the holiest person in the world. And humble. He's humble. He's an anu. Anyway, buy my book, buy our school book. Tzaddik in our time. Humble tzaddik in our time. Okay. So, what do you say to that? So maybe there's two different things. Maybe you could push it into Chashad versus Marasayan. But that could be the potential problem. Fine. I just want to stop for a moment. The shir that I gave on Shabbos a few weeks ago. So we discussed the Gemara in Ksuvos. Gemara in Ksuvos actually discusses Chalav and Dam, different types of Chalav. Chalav, a mother's milk, really is not considered to be Aser. Maybe it's an Isra Bal Tashaksu. Fine. Kamo Shapirish. The question is, what is Usr about Dam in itself? This is many different chews. I don't want to go into it too much because I don't want to bore you. But Min Basar, Dam Dogim, right? This is our Gemara that I just said. Gemara from Ksuvos as well. The Rama writes, the Isser is a Chiyuv of Karis. Aval Dam Dogim, he has a Chiddush Nifla. V'chagavim, v'shkatzim, ramatzim, v'dam ha'odam, ein chayavet mishum dam. L'fichach, Dam Dogim, v'chavet harim. So there's a famous raid on the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say that you have to drink it from a glass that has in it the kaskasim. This is a question by your own blood. What happens in the following case? I don't know if you've ever had this before. Some people fasted today. It was Yom Kippur Kata. Fasted half a day, whatever. So let's say you're really, really hungry. You're like, shoot, what can I eat? What can I... Ooh, I have a great idea. Oh, shoot, I just cut myself. Is blood of a person, can you suck your own blood? You're not vampires. Okay, I know. Can you suck your own blood? What's the halacha? The answer is yes. Yes. A person can suck their own blood. Why? That's not Maris Ayin. Everybody knows what's going on here. Right? Let's say, Nebuch, you go to the dentist. Anybody here's father a dentist? Right. Scam on examples. We all know. I'm not a big dentist. Right. What is he called?
A periodontist.
So a periodontist, right, is a, well, that's like, you make even more money. That's even more of a scam. What do they tell you? Your gums, you have something wrong with your gums. You bleed, you brush your teeth and you bleed. Oh my God, you're going to die soon, you know? Fine. So we have to do the surgery. We're going to take out your teeth. We're going to put new teeth in, but we're going to charge you $10,000. My in-laws just had this. My in-laws, they should live and be well. They just had their, what do? They don't put new teeth in. Well, they cap their teeth, whatever it is. It was like $10,000. I said to them, what do you need teeth for? What are you? You're in like almost 80 years old. No, you don't need any teeth. Right? Don't we have, I don't know if you remember, like the old grandma. Like, hello, how are you doing? Right? Get them these teeth that they put in at night. I don't understand. $10,000 coming from my Yerusha. Sorry. Not for now. No, but really. So you go to the dentist, and now the dentist is doing work on your teeth with Mr. Thirsty. You know, Mr. You got Mr. Thirsty in your mouth, right? And it's trying to get out the blood. But what normally happens, unfortunately, some of the blood, you know, you try to spit. Stop yelling at me. She's telling you to spit. You can't spit all of them. So can you drink your... The halacha is, la halacha, you can drink your own blood. What? Oh, excellent. So that's the Gemara. Beautiful. That's the Gemara in Kesuvos. Beautiful. That's the Gemara in Kesuvos. Gemara in Kesuvos asks, what happens if you bite into a kikar lechem or the apple? I've had this before. Right? Sometimes you bite into the apple and the tooth actually comes out in the apple and the blood, right? So I don't like the apple thing, because then what you do as a kid, you throw it in the garbage. But what's it was like a cookie or something, you know? It's an ice cream or something. So can you suck that ice cream? And so halachically, it says in Gemara and Kesuvos, you can't really do that. You have to take off the blood first. It's interesting, though, because it seemingly everybody saw what was going on. There's actually something very interesting. It's called, I wrote it down. It's called, I think, PRP. Yeah, PRP. Platelet enrichment something. Basically what it is I don't want to get you scared too much, but when you have major surgery, your father knows about this, you have major surgery in your mouth, this is scary, because you lose so much blood from taking out your fake teeth and putting in new teeth, whatever, and charging you $10,000, they take blood from your arm, like this amount of blood, they put it in a, whatever, and it actually changes the blood, and it gets the platelets from the blood, and you drink the blood, and it makes you, don't go home and have dinner later, and it makes sure you don't have blood clots or go off a bit loose because you lost so much blood. Now, that's maybe a little bit of a different case. Rabbi Leibowitz has a wonderful shiur on this topic. He was here last week. He has a great shiur on this topic. He had it done to himself when he's watching them. They say, here, drink this. And he's like, no. You know? Okay. Now, the truth is, it's not the color of blood. It's actually a different color because they take the platelets out, whatever it might be. Mistama, that would be something to be mutter, besides the fact that Suffolk Bikuach Nefesh, one could argue, and there's tshuvas by the Stechemen as a tshuva there. Rav Asher Weiss writes about this as well, not this exact thing, but he writes about B'makom Shasat Chak, and this is just a really a chumrah, so we could definitely be Mekah. Okay, so that's a little bit about blood. I don't want to go, as I said, I've scared you enough. I don't want to go too much into it. I will tell you just Psak Halacha, Rav Avad Yosef writes that if it's in a person's teeth, we're makil, because the whole idea is it's not Maris Ayin if people know what's going on. If I'm on Fear Factor and I announce this is not what you think it is, it's fish blood. Okay, so everybody knows it's fish blood. There's no problem. Oh, but maybe you're going to watch the show at the point I drink it and not know. Nah, I don't think that you have to be choshesh that. The Yalka Yosef, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the chief rabbi of Israel, says, Dam ba'atzmo, you're allowed to suck, but what happens if, I'm sorry, it's going to be disgusting. Somebody says, Rebbe, did you cut yourself? I go, yeah, I did. They go, ooh, you have all this dry blood here. And I'm embarrassed. So what do I do? I don't know what to do. But like, you'll be laughing. Like your mom's never went up to go, honey, come here. You know, go, no, I literally rather have that on my face. Like, can you just get away from me, please? Come here. Like, no, what? This is disgusting. You're like, COVID. Fine. So he says, yeah, he says, it's mutter. Dam shabu mimene v'chein shitas atoisos. That's what he said. This is the way the Tosfos holds. It's a whole lumdusha piece of halacha, but I just wanted to point out that inyan. Now let's go to the next gemara. The next gemara is Amar Rava, source number 3, Shabbos Samach Dala, 2 gemaras. 1, important halacha. Asur chachamim b'nei marasayim afilu b'chadei chadarim. So now we have to define that it's not just what people will potentially see, even in your own room. Best example of this, chas v'shalom, but I'm sure there's somebody here who's done this before. You go away for Pesach. You go to America for Pesach, chas v'shalom. You go for Sukkot, you go for one of the holidays. So now, all of a sudden in America, you're like, what's the second day of Yontif thing? What? You're Israeli. So aren't you allowed to, on the second day of Yontif, walk into the shul and go, buh, 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 I don't have Yontif. I'm listening to, right? I'm listening to my AirPods, and now I'm going to play it on speaker, right? Okay, so that you can't do, Mishum Marasayim. Really, it's not Yontif for you. 100% it's not Yontif for you.
If you go to baseball
game? Well, so now the Shaila is, can you do something? So let's start on even a lower level. Can I go into my room, lock my door, and go onto my phone?
Why not?
Because you just read a Gemara that says, Afilu b'chadei chadarim.
Why?
Oh, so that's the question. If Marasayin is all about... Now, so one could argue that it's not Marasayin here. I'll give you an example. We were once away for Shabbos in a certain neighborhood. I will not mention the name, but it has my name in it, Neve Daniel. And, so I have to mention it. And my wife's family, they're wonderful, amazing people. One of the reasons that we made Aliyah, they convinced us. They convinced my wife. I always wanted to go. And... So she told me, she thinks I'm like super frum. So it's just terrible. Whenever we eat there, she goes, don't worry, the chicken's kosher, you know, like, whatever. She goes, you know, she's like, I see you're not eating any vegetables. It's because you don't think my vegetables are kosher. I'm like, no, it's because I don't eat vegetables ever. I'm on a diet. No vegetables or fruit. I said, I'm sorry, I don't eat vegetables or fruit. Fine. Dessert I'll have. Fine. I don't care if that's kosher or not. That's fine. Anyway, so she said to me, I just want to tell you something. In case you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, at 2 o'clock in the morning, the dishwasher is on a Shabbos clock and it's going to go on. And I know you're going to be like, oy vey! And I'm going to run up to her room and start throwing rocks at her and go, shiksa, Shabbos! And other guys, I don't care, why are you telling me this? The Rav of Yeshuv says that's not Marasayin because it's a type of dishwasher that's very, very quiet. But maybe you're going to be the guy that wakes up and hears it. That's not Marasayin. So how do you define that based on Chadei Chadarim? Maybe because it doesn't apply to Derabbanon, there are poskim who say that. But here the Gemara talks about Chadei Chadarim. Really, mistumming me halacha, it's really not the right thing to do. Maybe somebody will go to the window. You're listening to a voice note, and it turns out it is here, and I do hear it, and then I think Artsy's not from, right? That would be the question. What Chadei Chadarim is. Now, the baseball game is going to be even worse. So even though the act of going to the baseball game probably is no Isser, right? And the only Isser would be, I would call it, it's not Shabbos dick, whatever, that's a real thing, right? I had a Talmud once who said to me, he had this great thing. He thought of this before he asked the question. I like when people do the research for the question. So he says, Rebbe, can I go? He's in college. He wants to go to a football game. The football game's on a Friday night. He says, but I know you're going to say to me no. Before you say no, I figured everything out. So the tickets are usher because there's no Eruv. So we have a guy. A guy is going to take the tickets for us. Don't worry about it. You have no problem. And the guy, and then you're going to say to me, what about Suda Shabbos? Don't worry, the guy is taking a picnic basket for us. And you're going to say for me, it's Amir La'akam is usher. No, he's getting some of the sandwiches, so he's doing it for himself. We have Kiddush one in there, and Challah's in there, and we have a portable washing station, a whole Gantz Geshev. When you get to the game, before we start the game today, we're going to make Kiddush. Kiddush will be sung by the famous singer, you know, cantor Daniel Hardy. Okay, fine. So we're going to make Kiddush, we're going to make the whole thing. They have it all figured out. So I said to him, you know why it's also? He goes, come on, Rebbe, I thought of everything. I go, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. Medavir Dover. Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, I believe. It's not Shabbos thing. It's not what we do on Shabbos. I'm sorry. That's the problem I have with this. It's not the right thing. So there, you're not going to, so what do you mean it's not Shabbos? It's not really Yontif for me. It's the second day Yontif, it's not Yontif for me. So now the question is going to be like this. So now you can't wear a yarmulke. So now the question is, what if I watch the game after? I watch the game after, and I see you're at the game, and I know you're Jewish, but I don't know you're Israeli. Maybe that would make it into a problem.
Well, then everything could be.
Okay, you're right. How far do you go? Now, it is true. This is what you can do, and it's an Israeli. I've done this before. I got on a plane. This is really true. On Motzei Sukkos, I got on a plane. I landed in America on Yontif, in America called Simchas Torah. That's mutter. When I land in an airport. An airport is not called the Yishuv Yehudi. There are, even though there might be Jews there, it's not a Jewish town. I'm not landing in the middle of Williamsburg Airport. you know, Satmar Airport. I know we're trying to Satmar Airlines. No Satmar Airport yet. And I can stay in the airport until Yom Tov is over. What I can't do is, I can't then get into a cab because it's not Yom Tov for me anymore, drive to my shul and go, meh, 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 meh. Not only is it not Yom Tov for me, I came from Israel, you losers. I've been doing malacha for 24 hours. No, you're not allowed to do that. That is the chashash of Maris Ayin. This is why maybe some of you have gone on Pesach trips outside of Eretz Yisrael, and the place that you go, maybe you could do malacha because there's no Jews there. Even if it's a Pesach program, maybe it's only Jews from Israel. Okay, that's something to be aware of. The Gemara also says in source number 3, further on, it tells the story about bringing the cow out with a bell, because Shema, that's what you used to do when they went to the city fair, and people are going to think that you're going to the fair on Shabbos, and that would be usher as well. Okay. For tonight, we're going to do 3 different heterim, which are going to get us into questions for tomorrow night. These 3 heterim will be the heterim for tomorrow night. We'll see what we apply to what. Heter number 1, source number 4, the Pri Chadash. The avio de lo lehoisif alea, she'en la ligzor l'aser midato mibnei maris ayin. The Pri Chadash says, we do not add isurim. Once the Rabbanim and the Infinite Wisdom said, hey, I'm nervous that people, it's not going to look right. Once they say that, we stop there. Don't start to add new isurim now. Right? So according to the Pri Chadash, you can't add anything new. So let's just say, I'll give you an example that comes to my mind. It's Tisha B'Av, it's Yom Kippur. And you want to wear your fancy schmancy leather shoes. Shh, but guess what? They're not real leather. Right? So I don't know, what's a famous, I'm trying to think of a famous leather shoe that people wear. What? What'd you say? Louis Vuitton? Well, how do you know what Louis Vuitton is? Whatever. You want to wear your Blundstones. Blundstones are a leather? Yeah? Okay, the real ones, right? So what do? You go to the Merkaz, and the guy says, hey, you want to buy Flintstones? Like, is it Flintstones? I go, no, Flintstones. They're like the kilo. And the guy says, why do you think they're 100 shekel? There's no, trust me, they're man-made materials, you know? And you wear it for like 2 days, and it disintegrates. Fine. So why can't you? So the question is, we'll discuss this question. That's not Mar. So maybe you could argue, what do you mean? It's a new Isser. They didn't have Blundstones in the times of the Gemara. I don't see it here in the Gemara. That's the Pri Chadash's taina. Number two.
Computers, phones, anything.
No. That's an Isser. That's an Isser Daraisa, or Isser Darabana. That you can't say we don't add Isurim. That's an Isser. That's an Isser based on fire. That's an Isser based on Malacha. No. Here we're talking about the Rabbanan didn't make up the laws of the Mishkan. Those are the 30 on Malachas. We're saying they added a Geder. Now you're going to have a Geder to a Geder, which is actually what the next source is. The Ramah writes in source number 5 something very interesting. V'nohagu lasot chalav mishkedim. You may have thought that almond milk is this new thing that they made up in Starbucks, because all the people say, oh my God, we can't have milk. Milk is like so, like, I mean, the cows, like, they're moo-moos. Like, it's not nice to them. Like, they have feelings too. So instead, they beat up the almonds, and they squeeze them, and they make almond milk. So you go into, you know, Starbucks. Let's say Starbucks is really kosher. Excuse me, can I have a mocha frappuccino, but with almond milk, please? Because that's okay. So they had it in the times of the Ramah. V'nogu l'asos chalav mishkedim, umanichem bo basar of. What if you're making, I don't know, I'm just making this up. You're making you want to make a cheeseburger. Cheeseburger. A kosher cheeseburger. And I don't know, let's say you're making the cheese out of an almond milk. Are you allowed to do that? Says the Ramah. What? Because we said this, Maris Ayin filo b'chadei chadarim. Maris Ayin applies. Hoyo ve'eno rak midu rabbanan. He says, if it's oaf, the Isser of basar v'chalav, oaf v'chalav is only d'rabbanan. It's a new Isser. The rabbis added it. Aval basar v'heima yesh laniach ha'chalav mishkedim. Perfect example. You go to a fancy schmancy wedding catered by the best caterers in the world. 5-star caterers. 5-star caterers, call us for your next event. 973-8. So 5-star caterers is catering the event. And you have, it's fancy schmancy, and there's steak, and there's this, oh my God, it's the greatest event ever. And now dessert. So now you expect it to be on fancy platters, and they serve the coffee? And what do they bring the coffee out? In a jug. And you write, and the jug says on it, you know, whatever, Parav, you know, Bertram Parav Creamer. It's like, this is not presentable. Says the Ramah, you have to, because it was a meat meal, you have to take it out. The OU policy is. It has to say on a Parav, so people know. So I always thought this was funny. At the same dessert, you know what I'm serving as dessert? Ice cream cake. right? Let's say we had a we decided to do a Shabbaton. Let's go to Rav Hartstein's house and see. Remember that wife I was making fun of? Let's meet her. No? Fine. So now you're eating at my house, and you heard the Maris Ayin Shir, and you heard and the food is delicious. She's a great cook, my wife. And now dessert comes, and you go. She brings out an Oreo ice cream pie, and you say, "Oy vey." Ice cream, I don't understand. What's going on? Mrs. Hartstein, Rebbetzin Hartstein. First of all, the Oreos pasta cereal, because Rav Hartstein gave a share about that. Number two, ice cream after a meat meal. Nobody here is going to say that you all know it's power of ice cream. You're not asking a question. I will tell you the story. One time I almost so close, killed a Leva Torah student. It's a great story. We used to have this Sunday night thing. Sunday night, we used to have a learning thing in my house. Like they used to do, it was called Chugim. So these guys came to my house. Literally, it's the last chug. So my wife says, the last chug, let's make something really, really special. So I don't know, we made a barbecue. And then for dessert, she made my favorite, peanut butter ice cream. Oh, so everybody's, it's awesome. It's 11 o'clock at night. This one kid starts eating the peanut butter ice cream, and all of a sudden, his face gets red, and his lips are like this. I'm like, dude, what's going on? And he can't talk. He's like, and I'm like, dude, what are you trying to say? He's like, peanut butter, right? And I'm like, are you allergic to peanut butter? Like that. So first we laughed for like a solid minute at him. He was dying. And I'm like, what can we do for you? Like, do you have an EpiPen? No. He's like, he just needed a Benadryl. I'm like, oh my God, I think I have Benadryl upstairs. I run upstairs and I open the door. My wife already was sleeping. And she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, there's somebody dying downstairs. Do we have any Benadryl? She's like, oh my God, she opens the light. No, fine. So I give the kid a Benadryl. So the most amazing thing, he takes the Benadryl. It took me like a minute. At that point, he's like on the floor, convulsing. And I put the Benadryl in his neck. And within like 2 seconds, he's totally better. And this kid starts going wacko on me. Rav, you try to kill me. I told you the first day, 10 months ago, that I was allergic to peanut butter. You're trying to kill me. I'm like, first of all, nobody ever said to me, you're trying to kill me. I would just kill you. I promise you, if I wanted to kill you, you would be dead now. That's number one Rav Hartstein thing. I like to scare my students and said, by the way, I haven't killed one student the whole year. This year. Yeah, fine. So, okay. So, talk about Maris Ayin. He didn't know it was peanut butter. Okay, that's not Maris Ayin. So, according to the Shach, if it's a Durabanan, maybe there's no Maris Ayin at all, which is a huge chiddush. The final chiddush is the Rosh's chiddush in source number 8. And that's a Gemara in source number 7 in Kelayim about Shatnez. So we know Shatnez is Asar. There actually was certain materials that you wore and you knew right away. In America, like, there's this famous thing everybody likes to say. It's called the Hugo Boss suit. So a suit made by a company called Hugo Boss, the Nazi company. They made the uniforms for them. So they have it. Apparently, for some reason, because they're probably Nazis, they dafka try to find, where can we find linen? You know? And they want to put wool and linen in the suits. So the Gemara says, what if you're wearing a material that is not really wool and linen, but it looks like wool and linen? And somebody's going to think it's wool and linen, you're not allowed to wear it. Says the Rosh, but what if it's a new type of material? It looks like wool and linen, but everybody knows it's not. So he says, Einu matsui b'neim, hakol makirim b'hem, hilchoch einu asar. This is the chiddush of the night. You could turn it over. I did a little review for you. The number one is the pre-chadash. We don't add new asurim. The Ramah. Durabanans, and number 3 is it's not usher because if people know about it, it's not usher.
That's what
they would say about cheeseburgers. Oh, Yishkoyach. So that's going to be the biggest industry ever now in Israel. They even have this, but the Impossible Burger. You've heard of this Impossible Burger. Impossible Burger. It tastes exactly like a real burger. I remember when the Impossible Burger was introduced, some Hasidic guy came to my office, Avan, to tell you this is an Impossible Burger. It's impossible. You're not going to know the difference. So he says, so he goes to the chef, he says, make this Impossible Burger for Hartstein. It's going to be the first time he ever had a cheeseburger. Put cheese on it, it's going to be a Groyser Zachen. Fine. I'm like, okay, fine. So of course he put it on a Mizonos roll, and he says, don't worry, it's Mizonos. I go, I don't hold for Mizonos roll. I go to wash. I'm like, it was very offensive to him that I was washing on a Mizonos roll. Okay, Shkoyach. I sat down, it was Kovei Asuda, and I had this. It was the first time in my life that I had, quote unquote, a cheeseburger. And I'm like, this is the most disgusting thing I ever tasted in my life. Why? Because my whole life, you just think of cheese and burger like, oh, it's disgusting. I'm not saying it's necessarily disgusting. Since then, I've had many products, and I'm sorry to be a real Reuben sub is corned beef with cheese. And so you can go to a place and they have the fake cheese. You go to In the Shuk, there's all these places. What's it called? Crave. Thank you. Crave. Everything cheese, whatever. We went to another place called, what was it called? Oh, I just went with my kids there. Not Hatch. Another place. Schmaltz. It's a place called Schmaltz. So Schmaltz, we had macaroni and cheese, but it was fake macaroni and cheese with meat inside. Right? Nebuch Yonatan got it. And he was like, oh, this is delicious. And I could see it, like, it's not delicious, right? He goes, this really is bad. It's the combination we can't stand. So first of all, I didn't think the Impossible Burger was so impossibly like a burger. I didn't think it was amazing, but okay, not for now. But maybe you're going to tighten up, but that's okay. Now, we know that all the hashgachas have to write, whenever you go to a restaurant, it has to say on it, made with fake cheese, made with kosher bacon, right? You go, even when you go into Teaneck and you go into the kosher Dunkin' Donuts, it's called fake and bacon sandwich. You have to write fake and bacon. Why do you have to write fake and bacon? Nobody knows that. Because Shema, someone's going to think that you're eating real bacon. Okay, that's fair. Talk about Meyer Sign. There used to be a product, when I went to YU, there used to be something called scallops. Scallops is a non-kosher fish. In YU, they had fake scallops. They just called it scallops. It was like a fake fish was fried. It was the most delicious thing ever. So somebody was writing once a article, and they were saying, oh, remember the cafeteria, the greatest food in the cafeteria? What about the scallops? We love the scallops. So some guy from Lakewood writes the next week, and he says, how can you be called Yeshiva University when you serve non-kosher fish, whatever, and they wrote, editor's note, the scallops are made of fake fish, you know, like, it wasn't real, whatever, okay. That would be Meyer Sign, maybe. So what we're going to have to discuss tomorrow night is of some really fun, like, if you're going to think for a second not to come tomorrow night, you got to come, because I'm going to give you now what we're discussing tomorrow night. Ladies, one for you, shaitels. Are shaitels Meyer Sign? Maybe some of your mommies wear shaitels. Maybe you're wearing shaitels, I don't know, right? Can you wear a sheitel? Isn't that Meyer Sign? I don't know if it's your hair or it's not your hair. Can I wear on Yom Kippur? Can I wear fake pleather shoes that are leather? They're not leather, they're pleather, right? Can I go into a restaurant and have a meal in a restaurant that's not a kosher restaurant? Can I go into, the common question, can I go into, we'll have to discuss the difference with Derek. So in America, I go into a rest stop. And I'm a cheap Jew, and I know that in the rest stop, if you go into the store and you buy a Coke Zero, it costs $4. But guess what? If I wait online at McDonald's and I get a nice big gulp, whatever, I'm waiting online there with my yarmulke on, and all I do is, excuse me, could I have a large Coke Zero with ice, totally kosher, right? It's cost me $2. And if a Jew saves $1, it's the greatest thing ever. Can you do that? I'm waiting online. Everybody was watching a guy with a yarmulke. Is that allowed? Right? We'll discuss what about going into a non-religious shul for a religious minion that's in the shul, but it has a big sign that says, you know, Beit, congregation, whatever, temple Bethel, right? But it's Orthodox. There's an Orthodox minion in there. Am I allowed to do that? All these different things. What is the line where we say, oh no, here there's a chashash. No. That you can't do. That's too much. That's going to be the question for tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. So stay tuned. If you want, bring the sheets back up. Tomorrow we will pick this up from tomorrow.